You're listening to China Africa Talk.
Jambo, ni Bridget akikuletea kipindi kinachohusiana na China na Afrika.
Vous écoutez le dialogue sino-africain avec Bridget.
Everything China, everything Africa.
Olá, você está ouvindo China Africa Talk com Bridget.
سيدتي وسادتي مرحبا بكم في الحوار الصيني العربي مع بريتشيت.
Hello and welcome back to the program. You're listening to China Africa Talk. I'm your host, Bridget Mutambinwa, and as usual, I bring you discussions on what's happening with China and Africa from a Chinese and African perspective. The Kenyan film, Nawi, Dear Future Me, took center stage at the 15th Beijing International Film Festival, where it was shortlisted for the prestigious Tiantan Award and received a special jury honor. The recognition marks a milestone for African storytelling on the international stage and highlights the growing visibility of African cinema in China. This year's Tiantan Award competition featured 15 films, 12 international and 3 Chinese, reflecting the festival's commitment to global cinematic diversity. For African filmmakers, Nawi's success raises important questions. What does this moment mean for the African film industry, and can cinema become a powerful bridge for cultural exchange between Africa and China? Joining us to explore these themes are Valentine Chilagut, Kenyan filmmaker and co-director of Nawi Dear Future Me, and Luke Benza, chief representative of the African Film Association in Asia. Luke and Valentine, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk about our film Nawi.
And you're joining us all the way from Kenya?
Yes, I'm currently in a county called Kisumu, which is based in Kenya.
Right. Tell us about your movie Nawi. Nawi, Dear Future Me.
Yes.
Nawi, Dear Future Me was shortlisted for the Tiantan Award and received a special jury honor at this year's Beijing International Film Festival. Can you tell us more about the film and what makes it stand out?
Yeah, so first of all, the name Nawi means home.
Okay.
So basically, this is a film about our culture, our community, and in short, our home. So Nawi follows a 13-year-old girl called Nawi.
Uh-huh.
We have the setting in our present time where early childhood marriage is normal norm in the community. So Nawi is a passionate young girl who has big dreams of going to this big high school, and she has dreams of becoming a doctor or an engineer or a surgeon. So she has these big dreams that she wants to fulfill, but she is in a primary school. So she has done her exams to go to a national school. She passes with flying colors, top of the country. But when she comes back home, their culture starts to catch up with her.
Right.
So she's forced into marriage to a very, very older guy.
Mm-hmm.
So in exchange, the guy gives cattle to the family, and Nawi is taken away with the husband. So the marriage ceremony happens. All these things happen, and just when they were about to consummate the marriage between Nawi and this older guy, his name is Shadrach,
mm-hmm.
he runs away from home in search for a way to go to school. And of course, she can't go back to her original home because the father will send her right back to the husband's home.
The fathers will be like, hey, I already received the cattle. You need to go back.
Yeah, exactly. And the father obviously cannot return back the cattle to the husband. The agreement can't be
reversed.
Because, the community won't even agree with it. It's regarded like a taboo.
And the mother will be ashamed.
She'll bring like a lot of shame to the family, to their community, and all the relatives that are attached to their home.
Mm.
So she knows this, and she knows it's either she starts out a journey on her own, or she sacrifices everything and goes back home.
Mm.
So she doesn't know if she's going to survive on the streets or if she's even going to go and reach high school. But she's determined, she's passionate, and she sets out on a journey alone
mm-hmm.
to go and cross the river and go to a national school in Nairobi.
Okay.
Yeah, so her journey is filled with a lot of challenges, pain, her finding a group of boys who are fishermen,
mm-hmm.
and she actually joins them in their journey of fishing
okay.
to pay off the money through fishing that these people will charge her to take her across the border so that she can reach Nairobi. So she does all of this, but you know, back home, the husband has already gone to her father's house asking, where is your daughter? Your daughter ran away. So if she's run away, then you have to give me back the cattle.
Mm, trouble.
So there's a lot of trouble back home.
And now he's moving forward. She's not turning back.
Yeah.
All right. I think we'll leave it there for listeners to pick up from there. But tell me, when you're explaining this, I pick a Nawi in so many cultures and some elements, not just early child marriage, but I see a sense of determination, a strong woman, a determined woman who's willing to follow her dreams no matter what. Someone once said, one of the things that makes women slow down sometimes is men. I know some of the men who are listening to me may not agree with this. So I was also going to ask you what makes this movie stand out. And for me already, what makes it stand out is how it connects with so many societies, because there are so many Nawis out there, but silent ones.
Exactly. So you see, the whole point of creating Nawi was to also give hope.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we show the painful side of our cultural practices, we also wanted to give hope to the people who have actually experienced this and are still experiencing this, that there is hope for a better tomorrow.
Mm. But tell me something, Valentine. What does such recognition mean for your movie and more broadly for African cinema?
First, I would just like to say we are very honored to be part of the award competition along a diverse and international selection of films,
mm-hmm.
because there are so many stories about our culture. Not just about early childhood. And most of the time they get out there, but they don't get any type of recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole purpose of the film is not even achieved because the story is not out there and there's no conversation happening. So the fact that Nawi even gets recognition in China, in an award in China, we regard it as such a huge success on our side, because the main purpose of creating Nawi was for it to be seen and to be heard, so that this story may reach all borders in Africa, outside Africa, in Europe, and all over the world. So we are truly honored that light has been shown on the power of African cinema.
Luke, you've been in China for a very long time, and you have so much experience in the film industry here in China. In your experience, are African films and film directors gaining more recognition at international film festivals? What do you believe is driving the increased visibility?
First of all, I think I've been in China for 45 years. Recently, the Chinese authority, we've been working close with them to see the possibility on to establish the China-Africa Film Fund, which will help African directors between China and Africa to make the story. So right now, we still need to improve to promote more the African films in China. Mostly in China, what they saw is Hollywood movie talking about African story. It's just what we're seeing here. But typically, the real African films, we still need to improve. The problem we have in here right now is finance. You know, the finance for making movie between China and Africa, not only between China and Africa, but mostly in Africa. So what we face on is mostly the finance. And some African directors, they need, you know, to take at least 5 or 6 years to make feature films. But recently, I've been working closely with the Chinese authority to see the possibility on how to establish the China and African Film Fund.
Valentine, you are one of the two female directors behind Nawi. What drives you to put the spotlight on young African girls in the movie Nawi, Dear Future Me?
Yeah, so, you know, growing up as a Kenyan girl in our community, we were told a lot of do's and don'ts. A girl should not do this. A girl should do this. A girl should behave like this. A girl should tend to the husband in this way. So there are a lot of cultural practices that I grew up seeing happening, not just early childhood marriage. There's FGM that is still going on in Kenya, even as we speak.
Okay.
So, you know, growing up, you watch a lot of movies and cartoons that people get superpowers and all this stuff. And I believed in my mind that when I grow up, I'm going to have these big superpowers and I'm going to change the world. Yeah. So when I grew up and realized, okay, superpowers don't exist, I say, okay, which power can I have? So I used to watch a lot of movies. So I said, the power lies in storytelling. So that's I can, in a way, bring these voices to life and bring these voices to be heard and for these stories to be seen. So I always want to tell stories, even if you look back to the movies that I've been part of. Okay. There are always stories that try to bring a change or make an impact and give the voiceless a voice, and just try to make our culture understood and to be seen.
You just gave us an example there about how, you know, when you were young, you wanted to be, you know, you just imagined you had superpowers. You wanted to, you know, you wanted to conquer, you know, like most of these kids. I mean, like, we all came from that, you know. Now here you are, yeah. Valentine. What has your experience been like working as a woman in the film industry? And what advice would you give to young women hoping to pursue a career in filmmaking? To that young Valentine who's, you know, dreaming of, you know. Yeah,
changing the world.
Of changing the world, yes.
I can't lie, because my journey has been filled with a lot of struggle, tough situations, sweat, hard work, a lot of learning and growing up. And it has also been a journey of success. In our Kenyan community, being a female who, the technical parts in filmmaking, it has been a long time since. Right now, we do have very many female directors, female cinematographers, female sound tech, and all that. But it's not as easy as just waking up one day and just, okay, I'm a female director, a female cinematographer.
Right.
I feel like as women, we always have to work twice as hard.
Yeah.
You have to put in the effort twice as hard, because already there is this big stereotype that is out there in the world. I believe not only in Kenya, but out there, that there are some specific jobs that are only meant for men, like, there should only be direct men who are in the directing department or in the camera department, in the sound department, you see. So I feel like in my journey, I had to work twice as hard and I had to really stand strong and be confident in what I'm doing to, like, reach this point. So to any young girl or woman who wants to pursue a career in filmmaking, all I have to say in simple terms is they can, we can.
It can be done.
If I could, yeah, if I could do it, regardless of what community I come from and whatever I was told growing up that a girl should and shouldn't do, if I could do it and stand firm and be where I am today, they can also do it. Someone told me that for me to succeed and to tell stories that really make a difference is to tell stories that I'm passionate about.
All right.
Stories that set my soul on fire, stories that have a meaning to me, you see. So that has really made me a good director, because when I tell stories that I'm really passionate about, I put all my emotions, all my strength, all, I give it my all. So I think all female filmmakers, or just filmmakers in general, should tell stories that they are passionate about.
Luke, let's hear your perspective. You've worked in the Chinese film industry for many years. How would you describe the current state of Africa-China film co-productions, actually? Do you think science fiction is a promising genre for deeper collaboration?
Yeah, of course. You know, last year, with the Beijing International Film Festival, we do African Film Festival under the Beijing International Film Festival. So during the festival came four directors from different countries. They bring them project, which include actions and science fictions.
Okay.
Some Chinese investors, they are interested to invest on the project. Well, actually, right now we have here is four projects. One is going to be shooting in Congo, another one is in Mauritius, and another one is going to be shooting in Namibia, and the third one, now we're talking maybe it's going to be in Botswana. So right now, we face on the three projects that will start on next year, and the year after is going to be shown on the Beijing International Film Festival and Shanghai Film Festival in the same times in the One Bed, One Road International Film Festival. So the collaboration between China and Africa is going well. The only one problem we have in here is the investors from Africa. We see that some, you know, authority, it seems like they are not pushing on opportunities on African directors.
Maybe it's not a priority. They don't see it as a priority.
If you see it, yeah, it's not the priority, but it's priority for football, you know, World Cup or whatever. So That's the directors can be female directors or male directors. That's the problem we face on them. During that Beijing Film Festival, some ambassadors as well, we spoke with the Chinese authority to establish the China-African Fund, is to give more opportunity to the African filmmaker directors to promote their movie in Asia. Yeah. Actually, we can say like Valentine Talk, say the female directors are less, they are not a lot. They face on also a lot of problem. So what is the direction, what to do, how to resolve this problem? Is it has to go also to the personal authority to see the possibility and on how to help mostly female directors and all the directors to promote the culture in Asia. In China, for example, 5 years ago, it was a good movie from Kenya. I think it was a co-production between Kenya and British, the First Grade.
All right.
I don't know if Valentine knew that movie. The First Grade is talk about education.
Okay.
He's a whole man who's going back to school to study how to write. It was a successful movie in China. So apparently that's the problem we face on in here, but we need to be together to see how to handle it with the problem of this problem and to resolve those problems. Yeah.
Tell me, Luke, in China, films like The Wandering Earth and Nurture have earned global attention for their visual effects and storytelling. What has fueled the rise of China's box office and its international reputation? What's your take?
Such a type of movie is good for, in China, the audience is you know, and then I think he break up the box office record, you know. When we see about that movie for in internationally, so we see as in different way, like, oh, they can make such a movie as well. You know, still we know in China by kung fu movies, action movies. So when they try to do like fiction movie, we ask our own self, so how, why, how they can do such movie. So the audience is, you know, we can say septic, you know what I mean? So for China is big progress.
Ever wondered what's actually going on in Africa through the perspective of an African? How are things really going between China and Africa? What's the narrative of this relationship? Well, get a perspective with China-Africa Talk. Hear from African diplomats, entrepreneurs, academics, Chinese natives, and more. Get on our wavelength every week to find out what's real with China-Africa Talk. Find us on your favorite podcast. We'll see you there. Right, Valentine, I'd like to know from you, how do audiences in China, Africa, and the West differ in their appreciation of locally produced content? I know you've also worked with Westerners as well on your productions. You're well exposed internationally.
Yeah.
What's your take on how audiences, how they differ in their appreciation of locally produced content?
Yeah, personally, I think that I'll give references to Nawi when answering this question.
Okay.
I think that audiences bring like totally different cultural references and expectations to a film, you see. Like each audience from different countries, they come with different expectations to a film. As I said, I'm going to give a reference to Nawi.
Okay.
So we've seen the countries that we've screened Nawi in, we've seen that the emotional core, stuff like dreams, hope, family and freedom connects across borders.
Okay.
When people watch, they see their communities reflected. Even as Kenyan filmmakers, we were not really sure whether the film would be allowed to be screened because of its sensitive subject. But the opposite actually happened. We had an incredible premiere in Nairobi and all the cities that we premiered Nawi in. We filled two halls because there were so many people. Yeah, there were so many people who could not get in the first time around. And they kept on requesting, like, where can we get now? Where, how can we see it? How, like, it created such a buzz that people wanted to see. In the West, there was a genuinely strong interest in the social themes and what we focused on in Nawi. We had our first screening in Germany and Los Angeles. And we saw that Western audiences also connected emotionally to the film. They were rooting for Nawi, and some even left their halls in tears. I was personally in Germany, and as the film was playing on screen, I would just turn my head back and see what reaction or how they feel about the film. And most of them were in tears. They actually connected to the characters. They were curious, and they also had a strong connection to the character's journey. So I think all the audiences that we've had, all the audiences engaged with the story on a human level, even without actually having a prior discussion or like synopsis given to the audience that you see, this right. is something that actually happens in Kenya, blah, blah, blah. Like there was not a whole story that was told to them
yeah.
before they actually the film. So all the reactions were just human reactions that mm-hmm. they were having. So I think this is proof and reminder that while the setting of the film is local, the themes are universal.
Yeah.
Like the
yeah.
themes that yeah. are in the film are things that people can relate to and happen all over the world. So it's universal. That kind of shared yeah. empathy in all audiences.
I was saying like how I picked when you were talking about the movie earlier, and I think in almost every community, every family, you know, every society, there's a Nawi somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's easy to connect with.
There's
with,
always a Nawi.
Yeah.
Local stories can be universal. It's not just about showcasing them or premiering them in your country just because the audience are people who can relate to the film. I feel like it's universal. The themes in our films are universal, and it's something that people can connect with from diverse communities.
Mm. Luke, where do you see Nollywood movies heading on the international stage? And are we following into Hollywood or the Chinese development path in the film industry?
Yes, we yeah. yes, we can say that Nigeria is a pride of Africa.
Yeah.
Because we say Nollywood, we mm-hmm. have Nigeria.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, do you see, when you sit down and think, you know, African movies, where are we, you know?
Now it's improving, and it's improving. We have, right now, they have, you know, a lot of co-production between China and Africa mm-hmm. As regarding the project I would tell before. So, and then in NIF, during June of this year, mm-hmm. We have a huge conference between China and Africa on movie in Hunan province.
Okay.
So, it's good start, and then I don't know if Valentine will have a time, you know, to come and then you know to participate on this. So yeah, I mean, it's in a point of my view, everything's gonna be. I mean, it's going well. It's going okay. well.
All right.
Things to improve is coming in the near future. I think this year or next year, the co-production will be more intense than before.
All right. Okay. It's still on you there, Luke. And just to wind off our discussion, do you think African films and Chinese films can serve as a culture bridge between the two sides? And what role can they play in enhancing people-to-people exchanges?
Yeah, I think when we talk about the country, it's two things. It's sport and culture.
Mm-hmm.
So until now, movies playing a big role between China and Africa. It's playing a big role in the bridge. And then beside the bridge, the main things to do, exchange culture, exchange on movie co-productions, investors, both sides. And then also, you know, discuss about the story for the future and then economy as well.
That's right.
Both sides, you know, they bring a lot of opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's going to be it's good bridge. You know, it's good bridge in many many different area. But the things right now, the things that now we need to work hard, both of us on the movie area, which is need both of us to work to promote the Chinese and to promote the African films in China,
mm-hmm.
in Chinese movie. I think in my side, no need to promote, you know, in Africa, because we okay. know Bruce Lee, we mm-hmm. know Jackie Chan, mm-hmm. we know, you know, all of us, or more, all this, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we need to work more harder to promote the African film in here and to see the possibility on co-production between China and in Africa. And then I think it's on a good way.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And that brings us to the end of the discussion. I'd like to thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
And all the best in promoting African movies in China. Listeners, you can subscribe to our online newsletter on CGTN or Substack to get more insights on China-Africa relations. Just search China-Africa Talk. For now, it's goodbye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others. Post it on social media or leave a rating and review. Thanks again. See you next time.